Welcome to Dreams in the Bitch House. Tonight's episode is our zombie episode, and our panelists are Anna McKibben, April Atwood, and Kirsten Pfeiffer. My name is Christian Benedict. And we're live.
Hey. Hi, Dreams of the Bitch House.
Hey. Hey, girl, hey.
Hey. Our first timer.
Yay. That's me. That's me, yes. This is my first time, and I'm very excited to be here with my ladies.
Introduce yourself, then.
Oh, I'm Kirsten, but everybody calls me Kitty. I've done the zombie thing pretty much my whole life.
And it's now it's really a lifestyle. Popular. It's a lifestyle for you.
It really has been a lifestyle for me, and it's just really weird that seeing a whole bunch of other people catch up with it is kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some people do roller derby, some people do burlesque, some people do zombies.
Exactly. I did the crawling flesh. You know, I like that. The blood and the gore, I'm a big fan. So, and I did a lot of, like, special effects events in Chicago for the zombie events that were going around the last few years. Once upon a time, I'm kind of done with that, though. But it doesn't make me still love zombie movies any less.
Woohoo! Well,
so hi!
Perfect.
That's good, because that's our topic tonight.
Yay! Thanks for saving it for me, ladies. I'm very excited about that.
Yay!
Yay! And I'm excited about this wine that I'm drinking.
Well, you know, I did say this was going to be a bunch of drunken rambling.
It usually is.
It was a prerequisite. That's why I was like, oh, I got to get the wine. So, yeah. I heard. This was the rumor. I came prepared. Yeah. Except I don't have, like, grapes or something.
So. Yeah, tonight's podcast is a little bit different, too, because we've all met each other now.
I know. That's fun. Yeah. We actually really know each other. So we would know the looks that other people may give us.
I get those anyway.
We're weird inside jokes. No.
Oh no.
That will be best unsaid.
Probably a good idea to keep those under wraps.
Thank you. I agree.
It's cool.
But anyway, girl, our zombie time. How about it?
Let's go. Well, Kitty, since you're sort of the new kid in town, as it were.
You're the cherry.
Yeah, you're the...
I was going to say, ooh, I like both of that. I like new kid and cherry. I'll take them both.
why don't you go ahead and kind of kick us off here? And this is free form, usually. I mean, we kind of, like, there's lots of tangents, and we sort of have to, like, call it together after certain points, but...
We'll fix it all in post.
We'll fix it in post.
That's going to be the mantra, isn't it?
It is the mantra.
Fix it in post. Anyway, April, right before we went on to pop my online cherry here, asked me what my, like, if I had a special zombie movie that I love. At first I said Hard Rock Zombies because that movie is just so amazingly bad that... anybody who loves bad movies should see that movie, but I digress. My all-time favorite movie ever in the planet ever is Return of the Living Dead. So, yay! I remember seeing it in 1985, and I brought two boys and one that I had a super, uber, uber crush on. And I remember taking them to the show, and I was very excited, and I was dumbfounded by how creepy and funny and punk rock and... like, just everything about it, like, made me sit on the edge of my seat, and I was totally sucked into it, and I loved it, and it was tantalizing. And when we got out, the cute guy said, you are never allowed to, like, opt out a movie ever. Your taste sucks. And I was heartbroken. I was crestfallen. And I was like, I totally choose the movie over you because you suck. And So yeah, so he did not like the movie, but I was a firm, staunch, in love with this movie the minute that I saw it, Return of the Living Dead.
Yay!
So yeah, so there's a million things that you can talk about, but that is like my love, and there's a million reasons why I love it, you know, and it's funny because a lot of people I know hate that movie.
That's so odd, because it seems to be a movie that, it's not that it tries to get viewers, or it tries to appeal to people, but it's so naturally appealing, it seems. It's kind of like, how could anyone not like this movie? What is your problem?
I don't know, because it was not like, I mean, I think it was pretty well acted for what it was in its own right, too, because the characters were characters.
Yeah. You know?
But overall, the underlying theme of it is, no matter what, we're all doomed. Like there's no...
Yeah.
Like we're, everybody's dead. In that ideology of that zombie world, you're gone in a week. Everybody's gone. There's just basically it, you know? And that's kind of terrifying. But it's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't sort of laugh at your own demise, then...
Exactly.
What's the point? Like...
Exactly. You got to face it and see what happens. You sometimes, unfortunately. But if it's got a cool soundtrack, why not?
Yeah.
And then, so what is everybody else into? In your realm of zombie world, what do you drive to? Or, like, what do you grift to, I guess? Do you have any specifics? Do you like the fast zombies or the slow zombies or the Romeros? Or do you go a different route, or...?
I'm kind of myself. I'm kind of a Romero zombie. Like, I like them to be slow and shuffling, and
I like them like myself.
Sometimes, like, parts sort of falling off here and there. And I mean, that's kind of the way I like them myself. So, see,
and that's what is the iconic zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Or oh, that's what's become the iconic zombie.
And become, Romero, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what Romero, like, was the godfather of the modern-day zombie. Well, actually, I don't know if we can call it the modern-day zombie anymore, because the modern-day zombie are the infection crowds now.
Yeah.
But that's crossing some into the territory of, is it a zombie or is it not? I mean, like...
Exactly, it's like a subculture of the zombie thing, because the first zombies weren't undead either. You know, the first zombies were just hypnotized, you know, with their voodoo stuff, you know.
Take it back to White Zombie. It was almost a pharmaceutical base.
Exactly. It's drug-induced. It's hypnotized, drug-induced. It's voodoo, basically, like the first zombies. So the first zombies were still alive. They were just drug-addled, like some I know.
Oh, boy.
Well, some of the supernatural... voodoo zombies aren't necessarily. I mean,
exactly.
I'm thinking of stuff like, you know, like Sugar Hill or oh God, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the movie. Anyway, they're categorically resurrected dead, but they're inhabited by, you know, the Loa of you know, the voodoo spirits. So.
Exactly. There's so many levels of zombieism and the different things. Or like, what is it, Pontypool? You're a zombie because you hear things now, you know? So it's a virus, but it's like an audio virus in some form. Like, it's just so many different... But then, is that an infection movie or is that a zombie movie, again?
Great infection, I would say. And I because I like Pontypool. It's one of my favorite movies, period. But, you know, as
really?
Far as...
Really? Really?
Yeah.
I just like saying the name a lot. But I want to stop. I hope to that.
Well, avoid the book, because the book has absolutely nothing to do with the movie, which is amazing, because the author that threw words on a page wrote the screenplay for Pontypool.
Oh, really?
And when I got to the end of the book, and Burgess, I think his name is, apologized to the reader for making them set through his mouth.
I do like that.
But yeah, it's straight infection, because, you know, they're trying to continue this infection, and when they can't, the body ceases to live, and that's not conducive to regular zombies. I mean, they're already dead. They're dead to begin with.
Well, yeah, which is a weird, just like a little digression, though. It's like, are they still alive while they're infected, or are they undead and this infection is just keeping them going, which makes them zombies?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it could be, it's a parlay, and this, like, the infection zombie thing is just, like, kind of like an offshoot, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how it's got to be labeled, and then, obviously, there's a whole plethora of those kind of movies, because that's the new realm, because everybody's afraid of disease right now, you know? But then again, there's always a weird flux of movies whenever there's, like, a threat of war or life damage. It seems, you know, like the radiation things in the 50s and, like, giant animals and stuff like that. And so everything has this thing, and zombies seems to be the one that has happened now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a Rorschach test.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bring to it what you see in it what you bring to it.
Yeah.
And I'm not skewed in any way.
Oh, heck no. Yeah. Well, that I
wouldn't
mean,
mind
zombies.
Being skewed one of these days, but that's a personal.
Ooh, hey now, all right, get it, girl.
I think even Romero's zombies have been misunderstood because, you know, I don't know if he thinks of it as a retention of the knowledge that was in the brain formerly. Like if you'll remember Night of the Living Dead. The zombie used a brick to try and break through the window to get Barbara. I mean, it was using a tool.
Well, exactly. Just like...
And I would point out that particular zombie was a running zombie.
Ooh,
right?
You're right. But that's because they were dead long. So the rigor mortis really didn't have time to
set. Exactly. That's the slow versus fast. Personally, I like them both because I think it has to do with the deterioration of the body. If you just died, you should be able to run. You shouldn't be able to run faster than you would have if you were alive. You don't.
No way.
No, no.
Well, no way, man.
Personally, I don't really care if it's fast or slow.
Me either.
It all depends on what makes a good movie within the context of the universe that's been posited.
Yeah.
So
that's how I kind of feel about it. I mean, if it fits the movie, okay. You know, I'll give it a pass. I'm not just going to dismiss a movie because it's like, oh, it's just fast zombies, and I'm done with it. Like,
see, yeah. And I can appreciate that because I would think that, I think watching, like, in 28 Days Later, when they're in the tunnel and those things are coming after them, tell me you wouldn't be scared as a mofo. like, that's terrifying to me.
Oh,
like,
by the way, Salty Sailor Talk is more than okay for the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Feel free.
And you know I can do both. So, but yeah, so it's like seriously, seeing all of them come in, I know obviously that's what it's supposed to do and that's the build up, but it made my heart beat faster. And really, fast zombies scare the shit out of me. Slow zombies, it's a matter of time with them. You know what I mean? Because they just don't sleep and they're relentless, and the relentless is what's just so heart exhausting. You know, it's like, and that's what it is about zombies. It's just, it never fucking stops. But the fast ones, they don't stop really fast. Like they just start in your face. So you have to run, and that makes you tired. So, it's just like,
yeah.
Cardio, yeah.
Exactly. And it's
thank you.
Land. Poor fat bastard.
Thank you for bringing that up. I kind of wanted, when we were kind of rolling here, I sort of wanted to mention that movie as trying to create sort of new sets of rules.
Well, they really missed the big one when they forgot the Kegel exercises, though.
They really did. I mean,
but we covered that in the last podcast, though.
Yeah.
We did cover that one. But I mean,
you never know when you're going to need your vagina to fire a weapon.
Well, no, I completely agree. My Kegels are outstanding. I've been told by my doctor.
So you could easily attach a gun to your leg.
Dude, I could knock off a single.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
That's, I shut off in Zombie Strippers, the whole vagina as a weapon. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten around to see that movie.
Oh, you might like it because you said you like the just amazingly bad, and that one was just
amazingly bad. Yeah.
Amazingly bad.
To be fair, let's distinguish. There's movies that are amazingly bad and have charm, and then there's movies that are amazingly bad, full stop.
Usually the ones that are intending to be amazingly bad as some kind of artistic choice that are the ones that are amazingly bad, full stop.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, usually. If you're trying for it, you're going to fail.
See, and I don't know what Hard Rock Zombies was trying for, really. I have no idea. But Hitler's in it. And, like, pop love ballads, like, early 80s metal, and men in spandex and big hair, and a puppet eats itself. Yeah, there's lots of fun things. And Grandma and Grandpa, the grandkids watch Grandma and Grandpa, and Grandma's a wolf, have sex. Yeah, I mean, with things like that, how could you not go, wow, this movie's got to be interesting, at the very least. So that's my recommendation of, like, just, I don't know what they were trying for, but it's awesomely bad. It's just straight up awesome bad. Nice. So I recommend it to everybody on the planet. Well, maybe not everybody. I don't think George Bush would appreciate it. That's just me. Anyway.
Okay, next. Who's next?
I nominate April.
Yeah, come on, lady. Get your mouth up there. Take it.
I'm trying to think of a zombie movie that I really enjoy, because I make a distinction between the infection and the actual zombies in my own head. And then even in my collection, I have my zombie movies, and then I have it as a sub genre for infection.
I've never taken you to be such a linear kind of lens.
Only with the movies. That's it, man. Everything else is
different. Subset D, under I, it's infection of the Z of the zombie. I was like, what? Mango. I think comedies are in one pile, maybe. But not really. They're all just together, and I just have to keep pulling them out every time I want to see something.
What do you want? I mean, you can't go wrong with something like Shaun of the Dead. I mean, that just... on everything. And there's very few people I've ever run across, whether they're into the horror movies or whatever, that don't like. There's a few, but not many.
That can cross the boundary, like how Zombieland crossed the boundary into mainstream. Mm-hmm. Shaun of the Dead was one of those, because it's very charming. It's cheeky, it's charming, it talks about society, like how zombies are, you know, like, that's what I like about a good zombie movie too, because it has that underlying, we're all zombies really already, because society has made us this way kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, Shaun of the Dead, obviously, for the first little while, he doesn't even notice, because that's how the world is, you know what I mean? Like, so he didn't even notice that there were zombies for like 2 full days, which I think is hilarious. I love it.
But how many of us would, I mean, there's a lot of people that purposely avoid the news and don't want to watch, don't want to know when it's coming on and everything, and I would probably wander around if it wasn't.
Dude, I would text you, trust me. I'm totally texting. You're all going to be texted. Oh my God, zombie outbreak, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Has the zombie, I mean, and as much as I love them, has it reached... getting to that like twilight point where everything is zombie now. Everything.
Oh, dude, it's gotten 2 years ago it got that way. It's been disgusting, and that's why I've pulled back a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't go to zombie events anymore, and I don't do anything like that really anymore, because you know what? Fucking burn. Yeah. It was a glut. It was all the time, and I was talking to my physical therapist just today, who was laughing at me, of course, because really, I'm part of this zombie subculture in Chicago. And I go to, there's lots of events like zombie prom and zombie bowling and zombie, you know, whatever, zombie tiki dancing and zombie yo-yo playing. I have no idea, but it's zombie everything. And I've been to a bunch. I've done makeup at a bunch of these fucking events, and I'm kind of tired. So it could, once it hit the mainstream, it kind of made you go,
meh. Yeah.
It's glutted.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like for them to pull back a little bit. I mean, because you're looking at all the vampires that vampire movies that came out, and you know how it's very cyclical. So I know it's going to fall off, and hopefully people will genuinely talented people will pick it back up and try to do something different with it. Is there anything left to be different with? I don't know.
Perhaps.
I think it's time for, like, Frankenstein-type monsters to come back.
I completely agree, Christiane, 100%, because they tried the werewolf, and the werewolf is kind of struggling along with the vampire, but the vampire is near going to be glutting, so it has to be something else. And I think the monster, especially with all the war that's going on and people losing limbs and stuff, I think monster might be a good new creature that will come, because then there will be the monsters with the heart and all the different stuff.
Yeah, I think the last movie that really kind of explored a Frankensteinian sort of theme that I really dug was May.
So, I love that movie.
Yeah, May was fantastic. Pretty awesome.
That was a fantastic movie. Very well done.
But that's a little bit off the zombie discussion here. So, what about you, April? Anna, what's your zombie movie?
Oh, I don't know. It always used to be Dawn of the Dead. The original, mm-hmm. Dawn of the Dead used to be kind of the go-to one for me.
Take a nap.
Yeah.
Take a nap and watch Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, just sort of pop it in the background and that was it. And then, it's kind of funny because the first time I watched Day of the Dead, I didn't like it because I suppose I expected something more similar to Dawn of the Dead, which that's like, I mean, a madcap comedy, sort of like, you know, it's so, it has those really off the wall moments in it. I mean, there's serious stuff that's sort of touched on, but it's really just kind of zany. And then Day of the Dead is like no fun.
No, there is no fun in Day of the Dead.
There's no fun. There's no laughs. It's serious.
It is serious.
It's such a harsh change. But the more I watch it, the more I have developed this sort of like odd appreciation and odd sort of love for it. So I would say like 51 or 52% to like 48% over.
Nice.
Dawn of the Dead.
So you have a mutual, a different side effect. But you know, they're both something that you could totally appreciate, but they hit different walls.
Yeah, exactly.
Day of the Dead was the only movie I ever got carded to see.
Oh my god. Oh no, dude.
And I was with two people that were 15 years old, and I had to be the voucher for a person.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fun. So that movie always has a special place in my heart for that.
Nice.
So yes, but anyway, and Christiane, you have not mentioned what your like.
Well, my zombie movie is Night of the Living Dead.
Yay! Classic all the way through.
Yeah, that's a movie that sort of made me a film buff.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
That and the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I saw them like within a week of each other when I was 10 in 19 mumble. But yeah, me and my brother stayed up like, I mean, when I was 10, I mean, we didn't have cable. This was before cable, which I know.
I remember those days.
But we had this independent TV station out of Denver that we watched all of the classic Universal movies on Saturdays. And, you know, Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, that stuff. And then on one of the other local stations, every Saturday night, they would have, like, Shock Theater after the late news. And that's where they put, like, the Hammer movies and the Corman movies and, you know, stuff that let blood in color. I mean, none of these movies is really scary. But then...
Uh-oh.
Then they ambushed us with Night of the Living Dead. And, you know, we thought, well, you know, we're big kids. We can put up with this. And Jesus Christ, our mother had to come in and turn off the TV about 45 minutes into it because we were like,
Just, oh my God, they're coming to get you, Barbara, right from there.
Yeah.
Just
like, but, you know, when I... The interesting thing about it is when I saw the restoration of it, I guess in 98, 1999, there was a digital restoration of Night of the Living Dead. And I realized that, you know, I don't think I've ever seen this movie before, because I can actually see it in, like, a clear image, not through, like, a slurry of dirty water. And
oh, wow.
I could really appreciate the cinematic qualities of it. It's a really well-made movie.
Yes.
It is. It's a tight movie, too.
Yeah, it is.
There's not a lot of, like, extraneous crap that doesn't need to be in there. I mean, everything is, like, an economical film in more ways than one. It's an economical film.
It's got this weird kind of hybrid quality to it that's a cross between sort of a documentary and this German expressionist movie, because, I mean, you know, they've got this footage.
Oh, you pegged that. You totally pegged that.
Because they've got this footage of, like, you know, the National Guardsmen out on, like, search and destroy missions. And you know, that stuff looks like it's newsreel footage from you know, the early 60s, mid-60s, from, like, you know, the Civil Rights era. Or, you know, I mean, you can see sort of echoes of them, you know, guarding kids going into desegregated high schools. It's got that quality to it.
Exactly. Or the KKK filming
Right, exactly.
Like, that's... Yeah,
but then you get into the interior of the farmhouse, and suddenly you're in you know, the cabinet of Dr. Caligari. I mean, like the scene where the little girl kills her mother. I mean, that is like totally out of German expressionism. I mean, the camera is tilted. I mean, it's all done with shadows. It's very, very abstract. And I mean, that's the movie where I started really thinking about the mechanisms of not just horror filmmaking, but of filmmaking, because it made such an impression. That movie and God, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers the week later, that really worked me over as well. So, but that's not really as... Yeah, I guess you could make an argument for The Invasion of the Body Snatchers as a zombie movie, but I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. I could see it, in a way.
Oh, yeah. It's an offshoot, but it's more sci-fi as opposed to horror.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's worth keeping in mind that Night of the Living Dead has a sci-fi explanation for it.
Oh, totally.
Because,
does.
You know, it's got this, I mean, the satellite coming back with the radiation that's bringing, you know, the dead back to life. I mean, it's totally a sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that distinction sort of collapses on close inspection.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the problem. Like, that's how trying to make everything what is and what is not a something. That's why everything has to have subcategories.
Yeah, or you need to tear down the categories entirely, which I think is something that is sort of happening, and it's been happening really since Night of the Living Dead. I mean, one of my favorite horror movies of the last, I don't know, 30 years, God, it's actually more than 30 years, shit, is Apocalypse Now. I mean, and most people don't discuss that movie as a horror movie.
And it's terrifying.
Oh, it
but
absolutely
it's
is.
Terrifying, and not only that, but it's got some imagery in it that is explicitly taken from like I don't know, Italian cannibal movies.
Yeah, Cookie's head rolling in its leg.
Right. Or all the heads that are on spears as they go into the you know.
Ugh.
I mean, you know, that's totally a horror movie.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? You're right. I would just consider it a drama, but it is a horror movie. It really is.
So, this sort of subcategorization, I think, you know, misses a lot of stuff just in getting lost in minutia.
What's fun about horror is it's subjective. It's what scares you personally. And I think that's why it's easy for people to argue Silence of the Lambs, is it? But I mean...
Well, I just argued that on my blog.
I was just going to say, that's a horror movie.
That's like, a horror movie.
I don't know.
For sure.
Couldn't be. Like, even if it's not... The movie itself doesn't scare me, but it's clearly a horror film.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
if
I mean...
I Spit on Your Grave is a horror film, Silence of the Lambs is a horror film.
Well, I mean, my take on that is any movie that's based on Ed Gein is a horror movie.
Yeah, that's an automatic inclusion right there.
What I was going to ask earlier is, have any of you ever tried to watch the colorized version of Night of the Living Dead?
I'm giving that a big hell no.
No. Well,
I mean, Why waste your time?
Well, that was the point. I mean, I tried watching it. I ended up turning it off probably... Oh, I don't know, 30 minutes in, because it just didn't work. I don't know,
my brain just keeps thinking the color pink, and I don't know why, but I would not want to see it colorized at all, ever.
Yeah, they didn't do a bad job colorizing it, but it just
Well, it's a movie that's designed for black and white.
Yeah, it is. For exactly the reasons why you said, Christine. You know what I mean? It really was kind of like a documentary, and it did feel very much like the pre-real footage to the movies that they used to go see in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's what is the big draw, and kind of where some of the scare is, because it kind of feels real.
Yeah, the other thing about Night of the Living Dead and is that it doesn't give you an out.
Exactly.
I mean, end of that movie is so downbeat. I mean,
oh, it's final. Yeah,
and that's the other thing about that's the other thing that's interesting about me seeing that movie so close together with The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Now, at the time, I didn't realize that The Invasion of the Body Snatchers had been tampered with by the studio, but The Invasion of the Body Snatchers was supposed to be that downbeat movie. And the studio was so horrified by it and the test audience reactions that they tacked on sort of this framing sequence. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
At the end. Yeah.
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, Night of the Living Dead is really, you know, the fulfillment of that particular promise, I think.
Interesting. Very nice. Nice connection there.
But,
sure. Because I had seen Invasion of the Body Snatchers when I was younger, but I didn't really, you know, it was one of those vague, I've seen this because I've seen every movie on the Saturday morning movie thing, creature feature in my world. But I just had, like, rewatched it on the big screen maybe about 4 years ago. And it's kind of chilling. As an adult, it's chilling. You know, as a kid, you're just like, ooh, they're in pods. You know? But when you're an adult, you're like, oh my God, just the conformity and all this difference. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, you kind of have different levels of dread when you see a movie like that.
Yeah.
And the zombieism, because it's the uniformity, you know. You're right, and I never considered that before. Thank you for enlightening me on that connection.
Yeah, the other terrifying thing, in addition to the uniformity, is the sort of sterilization, in a way.
Yeah, because, like, you're just one. You're, you know.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's, like, no personalities, no nothing. It's just, like, everything is sort of, like, clean and perfect. And
I think that would terrify me a lot. Because my people, all you people, you guys have personalities. You know what I'm saying?
You think? Just a little.
You know, un poquito. But, you know, so I couldn't even imagine, like, it would be so heartbreaking to not see your personality. You know, and that's what's so sad about it, I think, and underlying sadness about it, is that you're just stripped. You're done. You're stripped. You're just a shell. And it's sad.
Yeah, that's what's absolutely horrifying, is the loss of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.